making TV special.
Made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means?
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
A throat with a heart in it, stuck in traffic. A ticket and a mind to fly. An alarm clock still drunk and high. Sanity paying her mask on all the way across town. A compact frown projected on her retina upside down. You're an avalanche of detour signs falling off a track. Swooning like a boxer that is too dizzy to duck. Your decisions turn around, make you back. Then you're stuck. Then good luck. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck. Behind a door, a fire with a purpose being ignored, a body slipping into disease, quietly making that choice, while the joy drains out of a voice. You're an avalanche of detour signs, falling off a track, swooning like a boxer that is too dizzy to die. Your decisions turn around and make you back, and then you're stuck. Then good luck. Good luck.
Good luck, good luck, good luck indeed. That's Ani DeFranco with the track Good Luck off her latest record, Red Letter Year. And we're going to need some good luck with all that we are facing. My name is James Evan Pilato. I am your host and webmaster of the site and show MediaMonarchy.com. We, of course, also have some of the new sister sites in the Media Monarchy Kingdom, cyberspacewar.com and foodworldorder.com. If you're keeping score, this is the B-side of episode 145, and it's October 23rd, 2009. And actually, my girlfriend and I scored some comp tickets to go see Ani DeFranco tonight in Portland, Oregon at the Crystal Ballroom. Saw Yella Tengo a few nights ago. So it's nice to get out and get away and forget about, at least for a second or two, all the news, politics, conspiracies, cover-ups, media, and memes, all of it. And that's what we do here, and that's hopefully why you're here. Of course, if you're new to the shows, welcome aboard. To returning listeners, thank you for supporting MediaMonarchy.com. It's the way it all works. Let's get comfortable here, which is kind of difficult. It is a dreary day in Portland, Oregon, to where I'm sure most of you would say, well, yeah, duh. Isn't it like that there all the time? We're in what's now called the rainy season, and that's essentially what fall and winter is. So I'm a little wet. Cuffs are soaked. But all the gear is intact. And we're going to do it. We're going to get some of the things that we weren't able to fit into last week's main episode 145. We're going to do all that, and of course, we've got 146 coming up at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Right now, we're only live on the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. Of course, I implore you to subscribe to the podcast and the site feeds so you won't miss a thing. There is a lot going on the sites. We, of course, glance at the breaking news on this October 23rd morning. We apparently have planes overshooting their destinations this 27 minutes ago from the New York Times. Experts puzzle over how flight overshot airport. Federal investigators intensified their efforts on Friday to figure out why a commercial jet plane carrying 144 passengers and 5 crew over the northern plains of the United States on Wednesday night overshot the airport. You know, just by 150 miles. We've also got Iran pulling back from UN-drafted nuclear deal and home sales rebound to highest level in 2 years. And I'm not really sure if that's saying a whole lot. So let's get to it. And the first things we're going to hit are on the aforementioned cyberspacewar.com. Last week... So we missed it. Should have hit it last week. But again, that's why we do these B-sides. It's kind of the cleanup and the catch-up and the get-ahead. A small asteroid flew past the Earth on October 16th. This from space.com by way of MSNBC. A small asteroid, and now this is written in the future tense. Of course, now this has all happened. A small asteroid buzzed the Earth late Friday night, Eastern Time, flying just inside the orbit of the Moon. That popular moon these days. All the topics of conversation. It passed safely by our home planet, according to a crack team of NASA space rock trackers. The space rock, named 2009 TM8, was just discovered the day before by the Catalina Sky Survey in Arizona. It got within 216,000 miles of Earth, zooming by at a speed of 18-plus thousand miles per hour. That's slightly closer than the orbit of our moon, NASA's Asteroid Watch team said Friday via Twitter. The time of closest approach was at 11:44 Eastern Time. The asteroid hunters at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, JPL, in Pasadena, California, stands on constant watch for rogue space rocks that could pose an impact risk to Earth. It was the same team which, last week, scaled back the risk of another asteroid, a large space rock called Apophis, hitting the Earth in 2036. So mark that one down. We, of course, always have to throw out the mention, and the links are there for you. And again, the radio version of the sites, as the way things have been going, they are so crammed that I cannot do them justice on the radio show. So again, both things kind of work together. You listen to the show, that'll send you down the hole. You start to look on the page, that'll give you the supplemental, essential, contextual information to check everything else out. So having said that, we like to mention JPL and Jet Propulsion Laboratory is actually probably also named after Jack Parsons Laboratories. Jack Parsons, of course, connected to Aleister Crowley, L. Ron Hubbard, the occult. Sinister forces, indeed. So the next post on Cyberspace War is a rundown of ugly headlines. On Cyberspace War, we call it DEFCON. So this is DEFCON 1022, posted up yesterday on October 22nd. Obama's cyber threats, telecoms, and crypto. We do have a fuzzy shot from NASA by way of the register.co.uk of the moon bombing mission. So the lunar pole shot plume shows up in pictures. If you squint, you can actually kind of see something. No surprise, kids. We've been talking about cybercom for quite some time, and that's one of the main reasons why I launched cyberspacewar.com, is that we saw with the new supposed progressive puppet now in power that it was a new wave. It's a cyber world. punching you in the Facebook. NSA director tapped for Cyber Command. Big surprise. Lieutenant General Keith Alexander, who was the head of the National Security Agency, is going to be in charge of cyber warfare and the security of military networks. We've got more on that from fiercegovernment.com and informationweek.com. And we note just the, again, the drumbeat. From Forbes, the growing cyber threat. They're prepping us for a major hack attack, EMP cyber attack. At which point, of course, the Cybersecurity Act will kick in. And our dear leader will be able to flip a switch. You know, just for national security, though. It's to keep you safe. UCLA study says the internet is altering our brains. And it's kind of hard to doubt that, even though that source is back to Fox News. Former FBI agent slams defense tactics in the Gary McKinnon extradition case. Again, from the Register, Gary McKinnon, of course, hacked into the Pentagon, was looking for alien stuff, but found a whole hell of a lot more. He's a 9/11 truther. And they're trying to send him here. So maybe we'll get Gary McKinnon, we'll get Roman Polanski. We'll get all those messes going. Further down the list, Time Warner Cable exposed 65,000 customers' routers to remote hacks. That's from Threat Level. Cryptography spares a man who secretly videotaped his flatmates. Again, from theregister.co.uk. Crypto spares man who secretly videotaped flatmates. An Australian man who set up an elaborate network of hidden cameras to spy on his housemates has escaped jail time after police were unable to crack the encryption scheme protecting his computer. That's frightening and interesting and all those things. Hey, free download turns your BlackBerry into a remote bugging device. Hitachi has developed RFID powder. Again, the radio frequency identification device is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. It makes a grain of rice now look big. Easier to put into everything from cans of soup to a pair of jeans to your head. Cell tracking bills require info dump for missing persons. Now, at first blush, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but again, from Threat Level over on Wired, mobile phone companies would have to immediately turn over location data to emergency responders to help them quickly track missing persons if one of any four of the bills floating in the house gets some traction. The law already allows, but does not automatically require phone companies to turn over ping data from cell towers in emergency situations absent court warrants. The proposals would require the telecoms to promptly hand over the info if authorities tell them that harm or death are imminent. Again, that's anything they say it is. Terror is anything they say it is. A national emergency is anything they say it is. The insane legislation that we've seen, again, from Bush and Obama, no damn difference. Just a new slick marketing shell. New ad campaign, but it's the same Western finance oligarchs funding both sides, like they always do, propping each other up, Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution, but I digress. McCain introduces bill to block net neutrality. That's from Raw Story. As though you would look at that and go, see, if we had McCain in, it would just, you know, he would just be all over the internet trying to block things or, but that's, you know, that's the whole catch. It's a sticky wicket that we can't get into right now. The last note on this, DEFCON 1022 on cyberspacewar.com, Obama's cyber threats, telecoms, and crypto. It's time for Obama's cyber threats, veiled as though they may be. October is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. So we've got a video from the White House, Obama calling on Americans to help with cybersecurity. What we're going to see in today's shows is all the different ways they're trying to get you to snitch on people. And as we'll see in cases, it's working quite well. We have now, as we return to MediaMonarchy.com, the main site, a lot of amazing, disturbing, scary things going on in the world of the BioWars. The latest weapon, the biggest weapon, or at least the most attention-grabbing weapon, is the swine flu pandemic. So we're going to have two massive lists of updates. And again, I sometimes want to challenge folks who I know don't spend much time with this. It's like, if you just spent a day just going through the news, it would scare the hell out of you, to say the very least. BioWar Swine Flu Updates Alert Revolt Support. This was originally posted back on Thursday, October 15th, and again, we weren't able to fit it into last week's episode, so it's going to get ugly, ugly, ugly. CDC says 76 children dead of swine flu as cases rise. That's from the Associated Press. World Health Organization says it could take years to lower the pandemic alert level. Again, they rush to ram things through that are usually constitutionally questionable and generally restrict personal liberties and freedoms. They're able to do that overnight because they wave the bloody shirt and scare the hell out of you, and you willingly consent. But we see that turning it back is not so easy. It could take years to lower the pandemic level. H1N1 and seasonal flu shots can be taken together. Oh, goody. That's from the Washington Times and from the Washington Post. Swine flu deaths among youths rise as epidemic spreads. However, Lou Rockwell notes that the resistance mounts. And as we've noted before, I believe that 9/11 truth has spawned a whole lot of other truther movements. So whether that's the vaccine truth movement or the Fed truth movement or any of those things, the resistance is mounting. Pennsylvania drafts 2009 mandatory vaccination law. That's from farmwars.info. Microchip implant to link your health records, credit history, and social security. That's from bnet.com. And we'll return to that in a little bit. So more on that later. File that away. Microchip implant links your health records, credit history, social security, and so much more. Vaccine revolt support crumbles as the flimsy rationale for H1N1 shots becomes very apparent. That's from naturalnews.com. Google Flu Trends now covers 16 more countries. I'm not sure if I've mentioned, but if you go to, and I did, google.org/flu trends and went to the Oregon posting, it's intense is the level, and it's literally off their chart. We mentioned, I believe, lawsuit filed by Dr. Lynn Horowitz. I'm not sure if this one is related. Again, from naturalnews.com. Urgent lawsuit filed against the FDA to halt swine flu vaccines, claiming that the FDA violates federal laws, or at least has very recently in this case. Army, the first in line to get cutting-edge swine flu shot. That's from thelocal.de, but a little more on that. German soldiers get additive-free swine flu shot. That's from InfoWars, and I think we will have updates on that next posting. But yes, Virginia, there are shots that perhaps don't have quite as many toxic chemicals as they're shooting you up with right now, and you're begging for it. Swine flu brings big business for doctors and drug companies. That's from ABC News. NBCWashington.com covers the heartbreakingly sad story of what they call the one in a million shot. And if you watch the clip or have listened to the audio again, it's disturbing. I now see the page won't load. Essentially, there was a young, beautiful cheerleader, took the shot, crazy reaction, and now she is damaged for life. Swine flu shot propaganda goes into overdrive. That's from InfoWars. And the last bit on this first swine flu updates posting alert, revolt, and support propaganda. Big surprise. Drive-through vaccination. Get it.
H1N1 flu is clearly a growing threat. There's been a lot of talk about it. But recently, local health experts have told us they're worried that people will now fail to get their seasonal flu shots.
Well, the Visiting Nurse Service is offering a vaccine drive-through clinic right now over at the Indiana State Fairgrounds for that seasonal flu shot. 24-hour News 8's Phil Sanchez is live with details. Hi, Phil.
Hey there, Joy. Yeah, this is the first session of two. This session runs until 9 o'clock this morning, and then there's another session later on today at 4 o'clock, running until about 7. Joining us now, Dave Crutchfield from Indianapolis. He just actually got his flu shot. $25, right, Dave?
Correct.
Well worth it?
Well worth it if I don't get the flu.
There you go. And you say off camera that you don't usually do this.
No, I don't typically do this, but I wanted to come in because I'm more concerned about the flu. Our youngest daughter has got more kids out this year from the flu, and I want to encourage her to get a shot because she's got a little bit of trepidation about it, so Daddy's got to get through with it.
When you say out, is she a teacher or...
No, our daughter's a pupil.
Oh, okay, there you go. It's a concern, obviously, this year. Is it more so in your mind because of H1N1?
It certainly publicizes it, but as far as the kids that are out right now, it's just from regular flu, and then we've got that other one that's coming. And we're waiting on the vaccine for that, I believe, as far as the H1N1.
And do you plan to come out for that one as well?
That's an interesting question. I may have to do that. I haven't made up my mind yet.
Did it hurt?
No, it's easy, and I waited maybe 5 minutes the whole process took. They need customers. Y'all need to come out.
There you go. Dave Crutchfield, thank you so much, sir. Heading off to work?
Heading to work.
There you go. Okay, there you go, guys. And again, guys, this session runs until about 9 o'clock this morning. There's another session later on today at 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock today here at the Indiana State Fairground. They'll be offering both the mist and the shots, as you just heard Dave say. There is a charge, about $25. We'll have more on this story throughout the day over on our sister station, Wish TV. For now, we're live from the Indiana State Fairgrounds this morning. Phil Sanchez, 24-hour News 8. Back to you guys.
All right, funny guy. I found a Mets fan out there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Phil.
So I guess you can add that to the list of all the other disgusting things that you can get in a drive-thru. Now we're on to the next posting. BioWars, swine flu updates, special shots, bio threats, and databases. Again from farmwars.info, but I saw it in print in the New York Times a week or so ago. Officials say don't blame the swine flu shot, and as we note, you'll drop dead anyway. They basically, and this was front page, below the fold on the New York Times, they know the flack is there, they know the people don't trust it, and they say, if you get the shot and you get really sick, well, don't blame the shot, it was probably something else. Something, you know, the military would call a pre-existing condition. It's just a coincidence. Just a coincidence. Nashville registered nurse explains deadly H1N1 vaccine. That's a 10-part video series. That's over from InfoWars. But again, more on these special German shots. German chancellor, that's Merkel, and some of the ministers, and as we noted on the previous post, the military also got special vaccines without the soft kill ingredients. I'm assuming that would be the thimerosal and the mercury, perhaps even the live flu virus that you'll get in the nasal spray. Pneumonia susceptibility of young among the traits of swine flu. That's from the Washington Post. We've got flu vaccine brainwashing in a primetime ABC show. I'm not sure what show that is, but again, we've lost track of all the propaganda. And of course, we noted last week the fact that all the major networks were inserting propaganda into all their most popular shows, mostly to do with the climate control. But this ties in. It's essentially all eugenics. Just the different avenues it goes down. Paul says 75% of Finns don't want the swine flu vaccine. DARPA looks to upgrade bio threat detectors. That's from Danger Room. Merck, our good friends in the disease industry, they've won U.S. approval for the Gardasil vaccine for boys. That's from Bloomberg. We noted that quite some time ago as we tracked Gardasil on MediaMonarchy.com pretty extensively. Senate Bill 1858, the bill nobody noticed, that is essentially helping to set up a national DNA database. That's from naturalnews.com, but you can get more and hit the research links on Senate Bill 1858. It was a Bush bill. Oh, I should note, it was from the previous puppet, not the current puppet. Panel warns U.S. is underfunding efforts to counter bioterrorism, again from the Washington Post. Bilderberg attendee and former Kansas governor, I believe, Kathleen Sebelius, calls for updated vaccine-making process. That's from the L.A. Times. My most recent video swiped from, I believe in this case, Fox News, and posted up to youtube.com/MediaMonarchy. Chicago councilman says that maybe we should make swine flu shots mandatory.
The H1N1 virus making its way through the Chicago area.
School closing and sadly the death of a teenager in the western suburbs. Now the question is, should there be mandatory vaccinations for children? Patrick Elwood live on South City Hall. It's a very topic. Patrick.
Good morning. Dr. Terry Mason, the city's health director, says 54,000 swine flu shots should be coming any day now. Ultimately, the city's set to get about 2 million. Before the health committee yesterday, Alderman George Cardenas raised the question, should the kids be made to get mandatory shots. This gentleman here to my right, Alderman Bob Fioretti, he is on that committee. He was there yesterday and he weighed in as well. What do you think of that idea, Alderman?
You know, I think we ought to step back a little bit. We have to determine whether we have colds versus the seasonal flu versus the H1N1 virus. And, you know, take a hard look at what we're doing. The one thing about children being vaccinated, children under 10 need 2 vaccinations within a 4-week interval. So, you know, we're imposing a lot upon parents, and with these mandatory inoculations. Good. I can't even get the words out at this hour.
It's early. Inoculation.
I need another coffee. And I know you, everyone's been up for quite a while here. But, it's serious then. And it should be a parental decision.
Okay.
You know, flu, let's just use common sense. Wash your hands. If you don't feel well, stay home. And don't cough, cough in your armpits, as we've been saying all along. So let's use common sense here.
It's not a money issue. It's a principle issue. Usually you think that the parents should be allowed to make this decision, not any government entity.
No, and I think it is up to the parents. And we don't know the impact or what the long-range results of this inoculation is at this point, and see what happens here. So let's see as we go forward, let's make a decision.
True enough.
Again, that video is available on youtube.com/MediaMonarchy. The last few swine flu updates on the special shots, bio threats, and databases posting. A video report by way of Raw Replay points out that there are 2.5 drug lobbyists for every lawmaker. By way of UPI, Louis Farrakhan, head of the Nation of Islam, suspicious of the H1N1 vaccine, essentially says it's a population control tool, and he is right again. And again, the propaganda piles up. We'll close out the BioWar swine flu updates with another clip. This would, I believe, be the third example of propaganda being used against the kids to get another toxic shock, shot, Freudian slip, as if they aren't getting too many shots as it is. Government hijacked kids' TV to propagandize for the swine flu shots yet again. We've hit 2 different clips with Elmo from Sesame Street about the shot, but now Sid the Science Kid shoots up.
Hey kids, we're ready to roll, stopping that virus, that's our goal. So come on everybody, we're getting the shot. It might hurt a little bit,
just a little bit,
but it's gonna help a whole lot.
This vaccination is a great opportunity.
Yes it is, yes it is,
to do something for yourself and your community.
Yes it is, yes it is,
the virus won't spread if we don't let it.
So roll up your sleeves and come and get it.
If I don't get the virus, I won't give it to you.
If you don't give it to me, I won't give it to her.
If I don't get it from her, I won't give it to them.
That's true.
If I don't get the virus, I won't give it to you.
Hey kids, we're ready to roll. Stopping that virus, that's our goal. So come on everybody, we're getting the shot. It might hurt a little bit.
Just a little bit.
But it's gonna help a whole lot.
Hey kids, I'm ready to roll. Stopping that virus, that's my goal. So come on everybody, we're getting the shot. It might hurt a little bit.
If I told you that was satire, that was The Onion, you'd probably believe me, and I probably would too. But no, that's Sid the Science Kid, some kid's show I've never heard of. But there he is, shooting up. Might hurt a little bit. Yeah, it might hurt a lot. So we move from the bio wars to, you know, just the regular kind of wars with shooting and killing. Not the soft kill eugenics kind of wars. Again, an older post that we didn't have time to hit last week, posted up October 14th on MediaMonarchy.com. U.S. military spreading death and meeting its recruitment goals. The recruitment goals in just a moment, but first from RussiaToday.com. Death rather than nation building, that's what the U.S. Army brought to Iraq and is currently bringing to Afghanistan and God knows where else. According to former Army Sergeant and anti-war activist Mathis Chereau, he recently shared his views on the U.S. military campaigns with Russia Today.
I am Sergeant Mathis Chereau.
For some, Mathis Chereau is considered a hero.
And it is my duty as a soldier to refuse the legal orders to reactivate.
Others label him a U.S. traitor. 25-year-old is an Army sergeant turned war resistor.
This is an American war of aggression. It's genocidal. It's racist.
One of roughly 8,000 U.S. soldiers that have reportedly deserted the Army since 2003.
When I first refused to go to Iraq, I literally thought they were probably going to walk me out of Congress in handcuffs. A year later, I actually had a hearing in front of a board of officers, and I attended it in uniform, you know, and that day I was Sergeant Chereau. And I went before these guys and I explained to them my position. I said, look, I believe these are racist and inherently genocidal wars, and I think you're sending young men off to do war crimes. And I think we are being altered as a nation forever for it. We're obviously altering the face of these nations that we're, you know, actively destroying. I said, I won't have a thing to do with it. And it's not that I want to make a mockery of your system. You know, it's not that I hate the troops. You know, it is that this is wrong, and I can no longer sit by silently and allow my humanity to continue slipping away from me.
But your situation is not very common. I mean, right now we are seeing a lot of U.S. soldiers resisting to go to Afghanistan. Mm. They're being court-martialed. They're being punished. They're facing dishonorable discharges. Do you feel that Afghanistan is an illegal war, and do you back the U.S. soldiers that are refusing to deploy there?
Yes, 100%. Afghanistan is absolutely an illegal war under the same conventions that Iraq was an illegal war. You know, the peace community for many years now has liked to draw a distinction between the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. You know, we've heard this good war terminology. It's really quite bogus to me, especially having at least done the PR behind both of those wars. They're virtually the same thing. I mean, they're both experiments in going and smashing a country and trying to rebuild it in our own image as a trading partner. They're both about resources. They're both defined as illegal wars of aggression by the UN Charter. That's something that people don't understand. And furthermore, to me, the idea of having a force like the U.S. Army participating in nation building is just asinine. I mean, we're nation destroyers. That's what we're trained to do. We are trained to blow things up, to kill the bad guys, you know? And the idea that you're going to take soldiers trained to kill and send them over there to build a nation, that's not our job. That's not what an army is meant for. The actual mission statement of the U.S. Army is to engage and destroy the enemies of the United States in close combat. Period. End of story.
Mathis Chereau on the U.S. military spreading death and very correctly calling out the neutered, ineffectual former peace movement. They've all gone back to bed. Obamasiyah's in. Everything's okay. And it all still goes on. The death and destruction and the illegal wars of aggression go on. I believe it's been a while since I've mentioned, but one of the greatest things Ron Paul said in the debates last year is that the same people who say it'll be a bloodbath if we pull out immediately are the same idiots who said it's going to be a cakewalk. And again, it still goes on. And as if all that wasn't enough, get some of this. Bleak U.S. job market boosts military recruitment. This from Reuters. Aided by a bleak job market, the U.S. military met all of its recruitment goals in the past year. For the first time, it became an all-volunteer force in 1973. This from the Department of War's mouth. Military services have been stretched thin by conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq, giving added weight to recruitment efforts as President Barack Obama considers sending another 40,000 troops to Afghanistan next year. The U.S. already has 67,000 troops in Afghanistan and about 119,000 in Iraq. Pentagon officials said recruitment gains were fueled by the deepest U.S. recession since the Great Depression and an unemployment rate nearing 10%. As I've noted time and time again, that's why we enjoy dystopic sci-fi films, because they generally lay it out pretty well, that in the bleak future where food and resources are scarce and you're crammed into compact cities, the only job you can get is being a snitch for the state. And there it is. But even more updates on this U.S. military spreading death and meeting its recruitment goals posting. These updates were posted up on the 15th of October, War Horse. And we say, man, I'm glad we didn't elect a guy like this. Oh, shit. McCain says we need a big troop buildup needed in Afghanistan. Whew, I guess, man, good thing we didn't elect that guy. Whew. Ha. Phony frontmen puppets, all of them. U.S. to send up to 45,000 more troops to Afghanistan. That's by way of the Telegraph, and essentially it kind of leaked out that, yeah, we're going to send more into the illegal meat grinder. A retired general says McChrystal should resign if he's denied all those extra troops that he wants. Bloviating. It's theater. They don't call it, you know, military theater for nothing. It's a show. Representative Holt wins congressional approval for measure to mandate video recording of interrogations. That's from Think Progress. Bomb-stopping drone team off to slow start in Afghanistan. That's from Danger Room. Rush delivery for the mother of all bunker busters. Again from Danger Room. And again, I believe we've noted that. The rush order of these new bunker busters pretty much shows that we're going to keep blowing shit up. Ain't no stopping with the Obama-siah. Gordon Brown pledges 500 more UK troops to Afghanistan. SAIC, private military industrial complex contractors connected to all kinds of shady war whore police state drills and things. Their recent acquisition was a $32 million task order to support space and naval warfare systems. Space war coming soon. And the last note, by way of Danger Room, ties into such a bigger story that, again, we can't do justice on just the radio version, especially a B-side. Air Force fires nuke commander, finally. It took a failed nuclear inspection, two missile trucks crashing, and junior officers literally dozing off with launch codes, but finally, the Air Force has canned Colonel Christopher Ayers, A-Y-R-E-S, the leader of the bumbling 91st Missile Wing, at Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota. Whether or not they're bumbling or whether or not, oh, it's just incompetence, again, we won't get into right now. However, I have provided you with all the links to all the amazing flashbacks regarding all the strange things going on with Minot, including those failed nuclear inspections, the missile trucks crashing, the officers dozing, which is one of my most viewed videos up on my YouTube channel. They were, of course, the site that originated the rogue B-52 flight that had, what was it, five or six, I'm not sure, nuclear warheads that flew across the country and landed at Barksdale, I believe. So he's birdcage liner, so they've removed him. And now we move on to war whores. This posted up yesterday, October 22nd, on MediaMonarchy.com, sloganeering PSYOPs, Satellites, and Suicides. Sailors take aim at new recruiting slogan. You ready for this? This is by way of NavyTimes.com, their new slogan, a global force for good. U.S. Army cancels plans to send another brigade to Iraq. I'm sure that's just for now. That's from Raw Story. U.S. to make Blackwater-style entry into Somalia. More on that from Global Research. U.S. after new military ventures in Africa. That's from Press TV, and more from Danger Room. U.S. largesse keeps African militaries rolling. Photos of military deaths in Afghanistan banned. That's from editorandpublisher.com. $400 per gallon gas to drive the debate over the cost of war in Afghanistan. That's from thehill.com. And again, if you're really an environmentalist, you would be against the war because that's the bigger polluter, not you and your stupid car that you probably don't really need anyway. But again, digressing. By way of Raw Replay, Gerald Posner, and I think he has a piece on thedailybeast.com. Some supposed breaking news, and maybe there is truth to this, it just stinks to me. Gerald Posner says the Taliban is trying to addict U.S. soldiers to heroin. That's their new weapon of war. They're going to addict, you know, U.S. soldiers to heroin. But we note, when they roll this guy out, you know they're really shoveling it. Gerald Posner is pretty much a shill for whatever stories are around. He's the official story guy. Case Closed, I think, is his ridiculous JFK assassination book that Oswald did it by himself. When I was watching cable television, when I was visiting my parents last year, and Bruce Ivins, the Anthrax Fall guy, was suicided, they rolled out Gerald Posner for that one. And now they're rolling them out to say that the Taliban is trying to get soldiers addicted to heroin. We've noted before that the Taliban, if you look at the charts, in 2000-2001, they destroyed the majority of the poppy fields. That's why we had to go in. We got to keep the drugs moving, baby. We're doing this for God. That's gold, oil, and drugs. Al-Qaeda bigwig killed. Again, we think, probably. We're losing track of how many times. Oh, we killed number one. Oh, we killed him again. Oh, we killed, you know, 14 dozen, you know, tons of times. Garbage. More on that. Paul Craig Roberts, America's Phony War in Afghanistan. From the Associated Press, White House rejects Cheney's Afghanistan criticism. He pops up every now and then. You know, Obama's cousin has to pop up every now and then and add some phony argument. Controlled opposition, no matter which side it gets coming from. Pentagon opposed measure to help rape victims. That story, of course, getting a lot of traction in the blogosphere. Unfriendly fire, a close look at Pat Tillman, an amazing long look from the Boston Globe. U.S. fighter jets collided off the coast of South Carolina. That's from the Deutsche Press Agency. More on John Elway's awesomely bad anti-terror video. We mentioned it last week, but here's more from Danger Room. Again, it's propaganda. It's telling you to rat on your neighbors. Terror's everywhere. Al-Qaeda's under your bed. Boogie, boogie. Administration fights to protect secret propaganda budget. That's from Politico, and more on that from Raw Story. Pentagon used psychological operations on the U.S. public. Documents prove. Olympia, anti-war group, succeeds despite being infiltrated. That's from the Washington Free Press, wafreepress.org. And we'll send the hat tip to our friends at Free Radio Olympia. In our neighbor to the north in Washington. Free Radio Olympia is on 98.5 FM. And you can hit them up, frolympia.org. They rebroadcast the flagship Media Monarchy show Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific time. But the last few bits from this war horse posting again, SAIC awarded $95 million contract to support the National Guard Bureau. An admiral says he could empty Gitmo camp in 10 days. That's from the Miami Herald. The National Reconnaissance Office pledges on-budget spy satellites. So not only are we going to spy on you illegally, but it's going to be on time and on budget. Thank God. XGI sentenced for child sex videos. That's from military.com. And is if that's not disturbing enough, we close it out with this by way of WSWS.org. U.S. soldier commits suicide in an Indiana movie theater in the middle of watching Zombieland. And it doesn't even really seem appropriate at that in this moment to say that I did see Zombieland last Saturday and it's great. It was hilarious. Let's keep moving quickly, my friends. We'll do the 10-15 News Purge. This was posted up October 15th. We're going to run down drug war, enviro health, history, mystery, media, memes, murder, and mayhem, and more. Los Angeles District Attorney says about 100% of medical marijuana dispensaries are illegal. That's from Raw Story. A fake bus was a part of a $1.7 million pot bust. That's from clicktohouston.com. On the EnviroHealth notes, Pacific Ocean dead zone in the Northwest may be irreversible. That's from the Los Angeles Times. Children exposed to harmful radiation from unnecessary CT scans. That's from Natural News. HARP, the high frequency auroral something or other, H-A-A-R-P. It's weather wars. Mind control, crazy weapon in Alaska. Look it up. HARP. Scientists create artificial ionosphere using radio waves. That's from BritainNews.net. A strange one from the Register. Feds say giant invading snakes will soon rule the U.S. And from Nowopolis, we've got an inconvenient question. Al Gore and the end of journalism. Again, not weighing into the climate control anthropogenic man-made global warming scam right now, but you know it's there and it's coming. Benito Mussolini was recruited by the MI5. Big surprise. That's from The Guardian. Every big puppet leader generally has intelligence community connections. That's how they're able to do what they do. This ties in, this next bit ties in with a bit of things that we've been going over with James Corbett on our new video series, The New World, next week. More on that in the next episode. But it, of course, has to do again with the cloud and medical records and databases, surveillance, Panopticon, Promise, InSlaw, the Octopus, all those things. Fortunately, the fine folks at HistoryCommons.org have established a new timeline dealing specifically with InSlaw and Promise. If you don't know what those are, you need to check it out. It's essentially AI smart software that the Department of Justice stole from a developer, added a backdoor, and sold it to other countries. It connects intimately in many ways to the P-TECH story. One note of media memes, new Michael Jackson song was given an airing. That's from the Big Brother Corporation, BBC. And on the murder and mayhem note, by way of copycat effect, Major League Baseball suicide, Brian Powell. When I posted this, it was two. I believe now the third person has died and two dozen, I believe, were injured in a sweat lodge accident in Arizona. UN plane crashed in Haiti, killed 11. 70 were killed after a tanker explosion in Nigeria. A Florida groom mistook his bride for an intruder and shot her dead. Boy band member Stephen Gately of the UK group Boyzone has died at the age of 33. Some have said suspiciously. Shooting of prominent economist baffles police. That's from WJLA.com. Teens light 15-year-old on fire with rubbing alcohol over $40 and laugh about it. And the last bit on this 10-15 News Purge, good God, I guess we didn't actually go over this last week. We only made fleeting references to it, and that is, of course, the story and the misadventures of Bubble Boy. Oh, no, not Bubble Boy. That's that's something else. Balloon Boy. You know that whole story. You know, it started to make us sick. The one other bit that I do have linked up is that the little kid being so nervous, and now, of course, it's all been basically called out that his parents are media hound nut jobs. That the little kid, the next day, after doing all the press, basically was throwing up on live TV because he couldn't take it. And we empathize. 1022 News Purge. This one posted up yesterday, October 22nd. Drug war. Five dead and a helicopter downed as Rio drug gangs go to war. That's from The Guardian. Revealed, two California airports allow passengers to fly with medical marijuana. Believe Oakland is one of them. Sustainblog.org. Plant hemp seeds, go to jail. There were some folks that planted hemp seeds on the grass of the property in front of the DEA, our friends in the Drug Importation Agency. EnviroHealth notes, another note from Gordon Brown. He's now warning of a climate catastrophe in 50 days. So that's pretty damn soon. Well, fortunately, we're going to sign, you know, insane deals with the UN that essentially gives up much of what's left of the sovereignty of the United States. More on that in a little bit. Food Freedom has the prosecution for the National Animal Identification System opposition begins. NAIS. We've also gotten more on geoengineering the atmosphere. This by way of Time Magazine. Moscow mayor promises a winter without snow. Again, it's somewhat rudimentary, but it's slowly ingraining and introducing the idea to you of weather modification. The little simple things they let you know about, you got to know there's far more complex things that we don't know about. CBS2Chicago.com has the interesting story of 1 in 7 girls at Robeson High School getting pregnant. And the last EnviroHealth note, there is a nice 22-minute long video up on Vimeo called, cleverly enough, Climate Chains. C-H-A-I-N-S. I like that. History mystery, the deep history of the Venice Municipal Airport. That's by way of Daniel Hopsicker, and it goes into how the guy who's involved with the Venice Airport, where a lot of the 9/11 hijackers trained. He was also the guy who paid the men who stare at goats. Alex Constantine goes more into the MK Ultra legacy, the stain of dishonor, and the prerequisites for redemption. Last few notes on this news purge. West Virginia worry, and I do have to worry sometimes about my home state of West Virginia. Trying to save the mountain, protesters in West Virginia arrested. That's from digitaljournal.com. And then 7 mining activists arrested at Governor Joe Manchin's office. That is from the Examiner as well. For a moment, Governor Manchin did actually meet with some of those mining protesters, and they did give him some information, and he said, I'll check it out. I think there's more from ilovemountains.org. But now it's back to the drugs. This from this Monday, October 19th, from the Associated Press, and a lot of folks talking about this, with some folks saying, yeah, I don't really believe this, or that it'll actually happen. But hell, we'll see. We've noted many, many times that Obama isn't going to change any of that garbage you thought he was going to, like stop the wars and stop the spying and stop all of that stuff. But of course, they may back off a little bit on marijuana so that, as I've joked, we can all be comfortably high as the shit hits the fan. Feds to issue new medical marijuana policy. Pot-smoking patients or their sanctioned suppliers should not be targeted for federal prosecution in states that allow medical marijuana, Oregon being one of the, I believe, 15. Prosecutors were told this last Monday in a new policy memo issued by the Justice Department. We have the link to the press release from the Department of Injustice. Under the policy spelled out in a 3-page legal memo, there's the PDF for you. Federal prosecutors are being told it's not a good use of their time to arrest people who use or provide medical marijuana in strict compliance with state law. The guidelines issued by the department do, however, make it clear that federal agents will go after people whose marijuana distro goes beyond what is permitted under state law or use medical marijuana as a cover for other crimes. The memo advises prosecutors they, quote, should not focus federal resources in your states on individuals whose actions are in clear and unambiguous compliance with existing state laws providing for the medical use of marijuana. The new policy is a significant departure from the Bush administration, which insisted it would continue to enforce federal anti-pot laws regardless of state codes. The update from CBS4Denver.com, Denver Westward, one of their, I believe, alternative weeklies, they're going to hire, I think, a marijuana critic. Denver alternative newspaper, yeah, westward.com, recently posted an ad for what some consider the sweetest job in journalism, a reviewer of the state's marijuana dispensaries and their products. Again, Bill Hicks would call that a positive drug story. Quickly, let's try and blast through the three different posts I have on our third site, foodworldorder.com. The first thing we have, finally, and I missed it in the theater, and I still haven't actually watched these full clips, in two parts, thankfully, up on Vidler.com, someone has posted up Food, Inc. In Food, Inc., which, of course, you may have heard of, filmmaker Robert Kenner lifts the veil on our nation's food industry, exposing the highly mechanized underbelly that's been hidden from the American consumer with the consent of our government's regulatory agencies, the USDA and the FDA. This, of course, features prominently Eric Schlosser of Fast Food Nation and Michael Pollan of Omnivore's Dilemma and In Defense of Food. I believe the DVD is now available, or imminently available, up on Netflix. But again, here in two parts. Get it, embed it, save it, download it, share it. Food, Inc. on foodworldorder.com. The next posting, and this was something we went over in the second episode of The New World Next Week, my new video series with James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. Monsanto guilty in France on false advertising charges. No, I believe I misspoke. We didn't go over this. It's all, God. Everything is moving rather quickly. So again, I would throw out the caveat that I ain't perfect. I do a lot of research on this stuff, but I don't have everything exactly correct. It's up to you to go do the research yourself. I've tried to provide a path for you. Having said that, Monsanto guilty in France on false advertising charges. This from the BBC. France's highest court has ruled that U.S. agrochemical giant Monsanto had not told the truth about the safety of its best-selling weed killer, Roundup. The court confirmed an earlier judgment that Monsanto had falsely advertised its herbicide as biodegradable and claimed that it left the soil clean. The company was fined roughly $22,400. It has yet to comment on the judgment. Yeah, big $22,000 against Monsanto. It has yet to comment on the judgment. Roundup is the world's best-selling herbicide. Monsanto also sells genetically engineered things to be tolerant to Roundup. See how that scheme works? French environmental groups had brought the case in 2001 on the basis that glyphosate, Roundup's main ingredient, is classed as, quote, dangerous for the environment by the European Union. In this latest ruling, France's Supreme Court upheld two earlier convictions against Monsanto by the Lyon Criminal Court in 2007. Flashback link for you there. And then also the Lyon Court of Appeal in 2008. That being sourced back to the French agency Press. Earlier this month, Monsanto reported a fourth quarter loss of $233 million, driven mostly by a drop in sales of its Roundup brand. So now, perhaps little $22,000 false advertising penalties won't really do much, but if they could continue to lose $233 million a quarter, we could kill a giant. It's the 1022 Binge and Purge. This, the last bit from foodworldorder.com. Sweet scams, recalls, Gates and Vilsack. High fructose corn syrup produces a toxic chemical known shortly as HMF when heated. More on that from naturalnews.com. But meanwhile, the junk food industry front groups are fighting back. I saw an amazing full-page ad in the New York Times recently from sweetscam.com, essentially peddling the lies that high fructose corn syrup is just like everything else and it's not dangerous and it's okay. So drink up. Organic baby food recall, Plum Organics. That's by way of ecochildsplay.com. North Korea food shortage desperate. That's from the BBC. From Scoop, Ethiopia faces large food shortfall. From Wikinews, UN says more investment in agriculture needed to tackle world hunger. Bill Gates, believe his dad was one of the board members back in the day on Planned Parenthood, set up by, of course, Margaret Sanger. She got awards from Hitler. That's where Hitler got his ideas, from the Anglo-eugenics establishment. Bill Gates, you know, of course, funding the Doomsday Seed Vault in Svalbard, Norway, wanting to put vaccines into mosquitoes, all kinds of great stuff. And, of course, they just busted out Microsoft 7, which I'm sure is awesome. Bill Gates says GM Foods conflict threatens Foundation's efforts. That's from Raw Story. Vilsack, another big pharma, big agri, big food congressional critter that's now been put up, I believe, to the USDA. Thanks again, Obama, for bringing these critters in. Vilsack mistakenly pitched the GMOs feed the world idea to an audience of experts who know a little better. That's from Jeffrey Smith, one of the experts, author of Seeds of Destruction and other books. That's from his blog up on Huffington Post. Bill giving the FDA new powers to oversee food supply has wide support. That's from the LA Times. And I'm sure it's all nice and vague, so that given any kind of catalyzing catastrophic event, they can do whatever they want. We'll close out this Food World Order posting, 1022 Binge and Purge, Sweet Scams, Recalls, Gates, and Vilsack, with a little Onion audio.
Sports drinks face competition from new sitting on the couch watching TV drinks. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. The makers of Gatorade were put on notice today with the introduction of Lemon Lime Squat, the first in a line of lethargy drinks by a new upstart beverage company. Spokesman Doug Levy says the new drink will revolutionize television viewing with the additive endocytine, which will allow viewers to enjoy programs longer and harder.
Squat is going to turn couch potatoes into couch tigers.
The promotional campaign for Lemon Lime Squat will feature the slogan, "You don't have to be the active ingredient anymore." Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News.
That's not the last bit of satire we're going to get, but first, we've got to get through two disgusting posts of all the latest 9/11 updates. First, the one we couldn't get to last week. NYC can't, myth busted, and more. This from World 911truth.org, World of 9/11 Truth. Also up on nyccan.org. As of now, unfortunately, the verdict is in. And I have been speaking so positively of this for so many weeks now. 80,000 plus people silenced by state Supreme Court. On October 8th, Justice Edward Lehner, L-E-H-N-E-R, of the state Supreme Court rubber-stamped referee Louis Crespo's recommendation that the decision to establish a local commission to investigate the events of 9/11 not be put before the voters on November 3rd. After showing interest in weighing both sides' arguments in the hearing, the judge's short decision, with a PDF download for you, gives no indication of having considered the arguments put forth in the petitioner's memorandum of law, nor any acknowledgement of the need for a new investigation, which the city of New York callously dismissed as irrelevant. I believe Lehner was the judge who, when he heard someone mention Building 7, he said, "What? What's that?" I'm not sure if there's anything else that can be done now. Of course, November 3rd is pretty damn soon. So I don't know. That pisses me off. Mythbusters message board says, quote, and I've got the link for you over on discovery.com, that, quote, topics of 9-1-1 will be removed. Yet another blog where 9-11 topics will not be touched. And generally it comes from the foundation-funded phony left, Huffington Post, Arianna Huffington. She despises 9-11 truthers. Daily Cause, of course, you know, with Marcus Melita's early connections to the Central Intelligence Agency. No mention of 9-11 truth on there. Can hardly ever get Democracy Now! To ever talk about it. So yeah, that's just another case. Mythbusters, topics of 9-11 will be removed. New York Daily News notes, sadly, the deaths of three 9-11 heroes in 5 days. Stephen Grossman, or rather, Robert Grossman, was a police officer in Harlem, worked at Ground Zero for several weeks. He passed away. Firefighter Richard Mineta died of cancer. And police officer Corey Diaz also died of cancer. The toxic dust. Now, whether or not EPA said the air was safe to breathe, these guys would have still been there doing their thing, trying to save lives. So they essentially sacrificed themselves. But we note many, many times EPA, Christine Todd Whitman, air safe to breathe because they wanted to get Wall Street open. So the folks who weren't first responders but are also getting sick, it's just even more. Twin Towers warship set sail. That's from the BBC. There's a new ship that has pieces of the Twin Tower made into it. And that almost gets into strange kind of magic in a way. No Place to Run is the name of a new fiction novel uncovering real conspiracies. There's an article, thankfully, from the Malibu Times, I believe written by Pam Lynn. So yeah, No Place to Run. I believe it would be probably something like we saw with The Shell Game. It's a fictional book using real-world situations to essentially show you that, you know. Former Danish Prime Minister was warned that the WTC would collapse. This from Paul Joseph Watson during a recent interview on Danish television. The former Prime Minister of Denmark admitted that he received a message 5 to 10 minutes beforehand telling him that the South Tower of the World Trade Center was going to collapse, prompting questions as to why the victims and rescue personnel inside the building didn't get that same warning. Poul Nyrup Rasmussen, former Danish Prime Minister, told Denmark's largest broadcast television network, the Danish Broadcasting Corporation, that before he walked into his office to hold a security meeting on the morning of 9-11, he got advance warning of the South Tower's imminent collapse. Quote, I am told that the first tower has completely collapsed. I received a message 5 to 10 minutes before it physically happened saying there was impending danger the tower would collapse, so I knew disaster was coming. Of course, Rudy Giuliani called out. He knew disaster was coming as well. How did they know? Lastly, the last 9-11 posting and the last chunk of things we're going to go over on this B-side episode 145, getting longer by the moment. Military cells, debates, gag orders, and satire. Again, from historycommons.org, something we can't fully get into, but something I wasn't aware of, again, and that's why something like the complete 9-11 timeline on historycommons.org is so indispensable. Awareness of a military cell at FAA headquarters on the day of 9-11. As people who follow the issue closely are aware, there has been some debate over the involvement of a group of military officers stationed at FAA headquarters, generally referred to as the quote-unquote military cell. In the events of 9-11. We don't mean to recap the whole debate here, but the basic gist is that the 9-11 Commission claimed that the military were unaware of the hijacking of Flight 93 until a few minutes before it crashed, but what about the military cell? Were they, too, unaware of what was going on? There's all kinds of documents and transcripts that are available. You can hit up scribd.com/911documentarchive, and one poll quote from one of these transcripts of FAA communications, this happening approximately at 9:45 a.m. We've been in contact with the military cell here in the building, and they're working on the issue. I'm not sure who they're with. I'll just leave that for you to marinate on. Now the last few updates, and you've made it. Obama served 9/11 truth in San Francisco. That's from 911blogger.com. More on what he got in San Francisco coming up on 146. Outfoxing the 9/11 cover-up. That's from Salem News, from out of here in the People's Republic of Oregon. NewStatesman.com. They recently ran a piece about the 50 people who matter today, and number 41 is, as they call it, top truther David Ray Griffin. And he's better on the list than Jay-Z and Dan Brown. Republicans oppose bringing 9/11 plotters to U.S. for trial. That's from hstoday.us. An interesting and somewhat surprisingly graphic video. I was a little shocked by way of Hawks Cafe. It's a 20-minute video on 9/11, the criminal enterprise, and its patterns. There was also a recent historic 9/11 debate on French TV. So again, 9/11 truth is international. You don't see anything about it here in the States anymore, because Bill O'Reilly and whatever phony left-right talking heads don't bring folks like Webster Tarpley or David Griffin or Alex Jones on to berate anymore. They don't even get them on. So hopefully we'll see some translations and things from some of the folks involved on that 9/11 debate on French TV. More things that, again, are really complicated that we can't fully get into, but ex-CIA chief James Woolsey handed down gag order to 9/11 firefighters.
But someone would have talked if there was a conspiracy.
Right? So there you have it, my friends. That's the B-side of episode 145 from MediaMonarchy.com. It's October 23rd, 2009. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the sites and show, Media Monarchy, Cyberspace War, and Food World Order. We're going to close this show out with a little more satire. This is a video I did see a couple months ago, but it made a resurgence, so I did post it to the site. And this is how we're going to go out on the Stormtroopers 9/11. Where were you when the Death Star fell?
I don't know. I just feel like we all have really great aim until the second we put on these helmets.
I concur.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be a downer, but you guys do know what tomorrow is.
What's tomorrow? Anniversary of the Death Star.
The Death Star?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's been a year already. Yeah. Man, it's such a huge thing, and all it took was a couple X-Wings to take it down.
Yeah. You guys remember where you were when it happened?
Yeah, I remember I was in Coruscant training, waiting to hear some friends made it out, and of course they didn't because,
it blew up and evaporated.
Yeah, like a big, colorful firecracker. No one was getting out of there.
You guys know I was, actually on my way to the Death Star that morning.
No, get out of here.
No. Forgot to set my alarm. Got caught in space traffic. If it hadn't been for that space traffic.
Well, you can't think about that. You can't think about that, you're going to drive yourself crazy.
Yeah, I'd be dead. I guess I'd be dead.
Yeah, it's just so eerie. Hey, you look at that part of the galaxy where the Death Star used to be. It's just nothing.
Yeah, still waiting on that memorial. Right now it's just a space guard.
On the space guard. Yeah.
I hear they're going to build a new one, though. It's going to be almost as big.
Yeah, eight times as big.
Haven't we learned anything?
Look, I mean, if you don't rebuild, the Jedi's win.
Jedi's. I'll tell you something. They hate our way of life.
Now, just because someone believes in the Force doesn't mean they're going to go blow up a space station, all right?
Yeah, maybe. Listen, we have all of this technology. Right? We can't find Luke Skywalker. One guy!
You got a point.
Hiding out in a cave somewhere in Dagobah.
You know, honestly, I just think Palpatine knew all along. And he let it happen just to justify going to Hoth.
Here we go.
No, I'm serious. What? Darth Vader happens to be in a TIE fighter when the whole thing goes down, please. Come on.
All right.
Now, look, I read the engineering. Okay? There was no way one X-Wing could have taken this thing out.
Okay.
No way! It had to be a controlled demolition.
Connor, nobody wants to hear this.
You're blind. You are blind, sir. You're blind.
Whatever.
You're all a bunch of drones.
Hey, keep your voice down.
Your drones, especially the drones.
Coolest.
Here, have a drink.
You guys want another round?
Now we're fine.
You want another round?
Yeah, you know what? Sure, actually, you can keep coming. I think.
Come on. That'd be great.
To the Death Star.
Death Star.
Death Star.
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
It's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Say out on my threat.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.